The following presentation is controversial and may be offensive to some audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
Radio from the heart of America.
The Shad Olson Show. Shad Olson Show.
The Shad Olson Show starts now.
S-O-S.
America is back. Standing tall.
As of now, I am in control here in the White House.
Stupid people are ruining America. It's sad.
I hope it'll be all over television, radio, and the newspapers.
I would like to take all the credit for this, but I can't.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
The Shad Olson Show. Shad Olson Show.
Hey!
Shad Olson Show.
Shad Olson Show.
I hope President Biden was listening to the people of Virginia yesterday. In a state that he won by double digits, a Democrat governor lost. I think the Virginia people were telling the president we still value our freedoms, our individual liberties. I hope the president heard loud and clear to never get between a mama bear and her cubs. And whether the issue is our school curriculum, guardrails for our school curriculum, or if the issue is a vaccine for our children, or maybe making that choice between a jab or a job for those children's parents, that the president is listening, that we still value our individual liberties. I want the people of Kansas to know I'm up here working to protect those civil liberties, all of our God-given rights that we've been given. I want the people of Kansas, I want Congress, I want the president to know that we are going to use every tool in our toolbox, every arrow in our quiver to stop Joe Biden's unlawful vaccine mandate, including, if we have to, stopping cloture on the CR to fund the government unless they take out this language which harms hardworking Americans. You know, it was just months ago that we asked heroes to run to the sound of this battle, to this epidemic, a time when we didn't know what the consequences were, what the morbidity and the mortality was from this virus. We asked nurses and healthcare workers, emergency responders, to run to the sound of this battle. We asked truck drivers to drive our supplies. We asked people in the meatpacking plants to keep that meat being processed. We asked people at Wolf Creek Energy Plant to keep the energy going, to keep the electricity running for our homes. And now those people feel like they're about to get a slap in the face.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is not just a slap in the face to those frontline workers and to our first responders that have been with us through this intentionally released bioweapon attack on humanity. This, what we identified right here on this program, and when I say we, I mean I, as an investigative journalist, I told you on January the 13th of 2020 that every evidence that I had read in academic research paper and scientific research, the tracing of the origins and etymology of the COVID-19 virus, the SARS-CoV-2 virus that causes COVID-19, the infection, that every shred of evidence that I'd been able to find led us directly back to the University of North Carolina, Ralph Baric, gain-of-function research to augment bat coronavirus feeder stock. The cultivated gene lines of bat coronavirus, augmenting those viruses to give them the ability for a furin catalyst protein cleavage site augmentation that would allow them to invade the human cell and the human race. And beyond that, to be able to mate that SHC-014 spike protein array with 12,000 amino acids in the outer shell. Just the complexity alone of what that means in terms of the endless, nearly infinite mutability, the mutational ability and potential for that virus for just minute protein signature changes on that spike protein, that surface protein, to allow it to constantly increase its ability to evade the human immune system and to evade any vaccine technology that's going to be rolled out against it. That's the reason that I told you from the very outset. Everything that I read, University of Alberta study, 2014, literally thousands of pages of scientific research saying that the SHC-014 spike protein, coronaviruses in general, it had been the scientific consensus up until the outbreak of this virus, the SARS-CoV-2 virus. It had been the scientific community's nearly unanimous opinion that there would never be an effective, durable vaccine immunity that would be conferred by immunity or by vaccination, inoculation. There would never be an effective and durable vaccination for the coronavirus family. And yet when they brought this into the fore, then instantaneously they pivoted beyond that, making now, they're pushing for universal vaccination. There's breaking news on a number of fronts, and I could spend endless hours just on the science and the way that this thing was constructed to play the crucial, pivotal, starring role in this plot against humanity, to destroy the economy, to rig the 2020 election, everything that we talked about for the entirety of the year of 2020. And I literally drove myself to the point of frustration at the fixation on the part of the Patriot set with mask wearing and the decimal point of death rate. And I said at the outset, this is a scientifically altered pathogen. The only way, and I wrote it, I went back through the archives just to figure out exactly when I said it, because it's now starting to percolate and permeate. Finally, at long last, it's becoming one of the talking points in the information gathering and the research and the things that are being talked about. Dr. McCullough, some of the other frontline doctors are now talking about the furin catalyst protein cleavage site proclivity of the SARS-CoV-2 virus as the smoking gun, not just of the scientific origins of the pathogen. That alone proves, if you have an SHC-014 spike surface protein array and you have a furin catalyst protein cleavage proclivity in the same virus, you have automatically proven it is a scientific creation. It is a chimera virus, and it was created in a laboratory. It was not transformed and transmogrified by cross-special zoonosis in a wet market in Wuhan. This is not the way that this happened, and I told you that in the very beginning. I first published that in that article January 13th of 2020. And I don't mean to just keep hammering that home, but it is such a frustration. We watch the lag time and we get focused on the wrong things. And I told you that they were going to use it to rig the election. I told you the Blue City Centers would be the fraud factories to be able to overcome Donald Trump's increasing popularity. Got 12 million more votes than he did in 2016 and still lost because of the amount of fraud they were able to inject with ballot drop boxes, mail-in ballots, endless scores of ballot harvesting, and you know the rudiments of the fraud, and sometimes we get lost in the forest for trees over the electronic portion of that, which I've told you in various times and places, that this was meant as the distraction about the actual way that they stole the election. And I'm rambling as we get this. This touches tangentially on just so many different aspects of what this is that we confront. But as we hear the good senator from the state of Kansas, that's Roger Marshall, Republican, talking about vaccine mandates, it's now percolating. They are going to extend the vaccination mandates, not just to large businesses with more than 100 employees. They are now going to force small businesses with less than 100 employees to enforce the vaccination mandates on penalty of $14,000 fines per offense in those businesses. And for an economy that is being deliberately dissected, vivisected, destroyed, torn asunder, torn limb from limb, it's being drawn and quartered in the public square, this roaring American economic dynamo that Donald Trump had resurrected by evening the playing field with China, by rectifying some of the trade inequities and imbalances that had put in place this uneven playing field that had destroyed American manufacturing. Donald Trump had 4 short years to try to reverse some of this stuff and throw the switches back in the opposite position to be able to get the American economy started again. And they are destroying it with every single passing moment there on Capitol Hill. Between Joe Biden's mandates and Nancy Pelosi's profligate communist Congress, these people are intent on this being the final destruction. They're terrified of the Great Awakening that's happening, and they know that their time is limited and their time is short, and they have to pull us apart and leave us on the ash heap of history before we can muster the political wherewithal to put an end to this charade. And I don't know what else can be said about it at this point regarding whether or not there are actual political solutions. I think it's dangerous for us to believe that Virginia signals some kind of sea change in the way that elections are going to happen going forward. One of 2 or 3 things is true. Either Youngkin's victory was so large that he outdistanced the cheating, just like Donald Trump did in 2016. Maybe the Democrats decided they weren't going to cheat in this election. Maybe this was a way for them to kind of, in their minds, lessen the intensity and the ferocity of the blowback and the backlash after the 2020 steal, to try to push back against election reforms that are happening in various states across the country. Good luck with that. But I just, if we place too much of a nom de plume, or we place too much of a wreath of victory over the Virginia result, I think that's to our detriment, and it's very dangerous heading into the 2022 midterms. Not to be the turd in the punch bowl. It was gratifying and it was heartening, and I gave in to some of that celebratory ennui in you know, wondering what this might signal for us going forward. But the reality is Democrats are never, ever, ever going to stop cheating, because they cannot win unless they cheat. And especially that is especially true once you get the white suburbs, the sleepy soccer moms, and those that were just terrified that little Johnny or Jane was going to get COVID-19, that Donald Trump was bungling the response, and all the rest of it. That was used as the cover for the heist. And that exodus of some of the educated white suburban voters was used as a tropism to conceal the fact that, yeah, you can put whatever demographic bunting and banner over it that you want. Reality is they stole the damn thing, and you and I know that's true. And they call it the big lie, and they call us conspiracy theorists and all the rest of it. And these idiots simply will not be happy until America is nothing but a burning wreck on the ground. And we're very close to that, given the fact that they're now going to extend the vaccination mandates to businesses with under 100 employees, $14,000 fine per employee or per offense, in perpetuity until you get the thing rectified. I have not seen that they applied have you seen where they applied a total fine levy to this development? I haven't seen that yet. We'll pass that along when that information comes. But you think about small businesses, and I got off the train of thought. You think about the small businesses just obliterated, and just those that are still in business after the 2020 debacle and the lockdowns and everything else, clinging to their last breath of life, and now you're going to put fines in place if they don't force their workforce into the vaccination queue. And it is astonishing and astounding. The reason, good Senator Marshall from the state of Kansas, it doesn't apparently understand one thing. Democrats don't care, and they have no necessity to care about the political consequences of unpopular policy. Only reason you worry about unpopular policy is if you can't rig an election. Hugo Chavez didn't worry about unpopular policy. Joseph Stalin didn't worry about unpopular policy. Vladimir Lenin did not worry about whether a policy was unpopular. It was devastatingly unpopular to liquidate the kulaks in the Russian Revolution. you didn't see them wringing hands over that, because they were never going to allow there to be a free, fair, and open election to determine the leadership of Russia after the Bolshevist coup in 1917. And that is precisely where the United States is. And I beg us to exercise a little bit of sobriety of appraisal in regards to what happened in Virginia. It's easy to get caught up in that and believe that we've now turned a corner and that we're going to be winning elections. I don't believe there's any evidence of that yet, and I think placing too much stock in that Virginia result is to make us more vulnerable and naive to what's coming in 2022. There's so much to get to scientifically regarding the things that are now being talked about openly, stuff I shared on this program back in early 2020. We're going to revisit some of that as we come back. The spike protein is with humanity forever. There is nothing that will clear it. There is nothing that's going to stop it. It's an endless feedback loop. We'll talk about what the buildup of that prion protein in the tissue of the human being, what that portends for the future health of the species. Chad Olson Show, SOS Radio Network.
January of 2020, you wrote an article titled COVID-19, Born in North Carolina, Sold to Wuhan Lab, Optimized for Pandemic Spread. You wrote that in January of 2020.
Everything that we saw Donald Trump succeed at, they were desperate to derail, and they did it with COVID-19. I say it to my audience all the time, and I'm going to say it to yours. The virus is the election fraud. The virus is the election fraud.
Again, you wrote this article January 2020. You called it before anybody had imprinted it. You were banned. You were canceled. You were trashed. You were lied about. Google algorithm was changed because of Chad Olson. I mean, because you nailed it, brother, and everybody knew it.
This is the SOS Radio Network. SOS.